All right, Dwayne Brummett here with Allie Alvarido, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, happy Monday to you.
Yeah, you too. And coming off the 4th of July weekend, which for us in the U.S. here is a big deal. So how was your 4th? Good?
Yeah, it was good. We just had family over all day and cooked out and swam in the pool and, you know, just very relaxed, very nice. And then where I live, I have a field that's behind me where, I mean, there's a park and stuff like that. So, like, nobody can build behind me, which is nice. But there were some people that had actually came to the park and did some illegal fireworks because here in Illinois, you know, the fireworks aren't legal. So.
Right. Same with us over here, but that doesn't stop anyone, right?
No, and especially this year because they canceled the fireworks in our area. They usually have it down to the boat docks, and we've had so much rain that the river's not even open. So you can't,
wow.
They couldn't even do it. Yeah.
I had an incredible experience, first time ever, where I went across to a place called Captree Island, which is right on the off over by the ocean by me. And it's across one bridge, so literally it's an island on itself. So I got to be in the third story deck on the upper top roof of this house. And I was able to see from the water facing into the entire Long Island. So to my left, panoramically, was like the city peeling all the way around to the south and east end of the island, which was amazing. So I was able to see, just by looking out into the horizon, the vast amount of fireworks, like everywhere. Like, so normally in my backyard, I could see my neighbors and maybe some clearing down. So I could see out into the distance a little, but this was literally the entire Long Island fireworks displays. It was insane.
That's really neat.
One thing I thought of, though, Dwayne, was like, I'm going, like, for every explosion I saw, that was like $20-25. I'm going, like, we could have fed the homeless with all this stuff. It was just the amount of money spent on just explosions, and it's so decadent. But it was beautiful, though. But at the same time, I was going, like, holy mackerel, like, really is, where are our priorities and things like that? And, I think that was one part of me a little bit that was bothered by it. But other than that, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing how much we spend on frivolous things. I mean, not just fireworks, but all of us in general.
Yeah, it really is incredible. But anyway, so long story short, good weekend, had a good time, got to see a lot of cool stuff, something that I've never experienced before, and really was quite interesting to be able to have seen that, and it's only like literally 10 minutes from my house, but it's something that I've never had the time or the opportunity to experience in that way, which leads me to believe, there's a lot of things out there, right, that we have in our lives that we pretty much see every day, and we don't really understand how much we have at our fingertips. And speaking of that, also, too, this weekend is the Super Show right now in Las Vegas, which I used to go to every single year. I spoke for them about 10 times at the Super Show. Great event. People are there, doing a great service to the martial arts, growing their businesses, and so much stuff going on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I always loved going to those things, whether it was NATMA back in the John Graydon days, or even now Maya. I wasn't able to go this year. Just like even last year too, we were on vacation during 4th of July. And then this year we were doing a low key thing with the family. So it's hard. I understand why they do it, in this time frame, but for me, sometimes it makes it, pretty difficult. But I always, love getting together with other school owners and it's neat to see what's out there. What other people are doing and, just the angle that they're taking on it with their school. Cause there's we talk about this a lot where there are some stone things that you have to do, some pillars that you have to have in your business. But then you get to be creative with other things that,
right.
As long as they don't affect those pillars, you can pretty much do whatever you want. And I like to see what other school owners are doing. It inspires me.
Well, we met, I think, at Through Member Solutions, which is a big billing company that I use. And we met through them, I believe. But then you and I hung out in Vegas one time, had dinner. You actually interviewed me back then, you and your old partner, and we became fast friends, which was kind of cool. So that's the part that I actually miss. When I'm just a little distracted. I'm watching my summer camp on my monitor. Don't let me lose my train of thought, but I just want to throw this in there. And I have 36 kids that are now being paraded out to our playground right now. So I just had to say that, where I'm here talking to you. And in one of my locations, I have that going on. Another location, I have kickboxing class and martial art class. But anyway, back to the thing. We met, you and I, at that and became fast friends and been working together and partnered up and have done all these great things. So that's what's amazing about those type of events.
Yeah, and like I said, the inspiration that comes from meeting other school owners and just getting to know them and their story and what they're doing in their school is great. And the things that are happening in the industry, again, pillars are pillars, but you can decorate them however you would like. And I think that's pretty neat, where you have some people that are, saying Facebook is king, and other people are still saying, Google AdWords are, and other people saying no referral cards. And so it's neat to see everybody's perception.
Well, here's one thing. First off, I think that we should clarify pillars, because that's a term that we use within the coaching that we do and within my next level business and so on. But before you do that, I also like to point out too, where when people go, and we talk about this, and maybe we could talk about this a little bit, but when we talk about the two different types of mentalities in business, right? Where one is, well, maybe I'll let you explain it. The two different mindsets, where one is an opportunistic person, one is more strategic purpose, and let's not get into it in too detail, but I think that a lot of the school owners, and by the way, this is why there's so many vast amounts of martial arts and then hybrids of martial arts, because Johnny loved Aikido, but he also loved jiu-jitsu and kung fu, so now he calls it whatever, and it's a combination of the three. So that there is a lot of flavors and tastes within how to run a business, and that's why not one coach is right. And there are a few coaches out there that are pompous, in my opinion, and really, have a big ego, thinking that all they do is right. Everything else that everyone else does is wrong. And for them to think that way is pretty ignorant, because even as myself as a coach, I learn from everybody, and I know that not everything I do is perfect, and I learn from you, and we share back and forth and so on. So please explain the pillars to our listeners real quickly. Like, what is a pillar? Why do we even call it that? And why is that so important?
Yeah, well, basically, there's seven pillars that hold up your business. And without getting into all seven, you need those specific seven pillars to erect the business. And then underneath that, you have to have a foundation. And it's probably, again, we could go into real big depth here, but the foundation is the number one important thing, and that really is, who you are or what you want to be, what drives you in your school, and then obviously the pillars stand on top of that. And
Right.
each individual one of those pillars, some people might call them systems, they might, call them different things, but I really like the idea of it being a structure, a pillar that makes your school run. And then from those specific pillars, there are there are some arms and legs that come out of those, that help run your school. And then, to go into, the strategic and opportunistic thinking that you talked about, we've all done this before. We've all run our, have run our businesses from an opportunistic standpoint from at one point or another. And what I mean by that is we see the bright shining object, we see the opportunity. We don't decide whether it fits into our core value of our school, but we just get excited about this specific opportunity. And I'll give you a for instance. Just this weekend, my son's birthday is coming up. His 13th birthday is coming up, and it'll be his golden birthday, and he wants a dog. We've told our kids, we're not going to get an animal. I'm allergic to dogs anyways. I love dog lovers, but I'm not a dog lover. I'm not a pet guy, and that's just me. So I've always told him, hey, he's asked me, can I get a dog? And I say, yep, when you move over the house, you can get a dog.
Right.
Well, he did this letter, this two-page letter, And I'm telling you this story because we all buy on emotion, and then we try to back it up with logic. So he wrote this two-page letter, and I wish I had it in front of me right now to read it to you, but it was really good. It was his persuasive speech, if you will, on why we should purchase him a dog. And it wasn't just because he wanted it and it's his 13th birthday, but, you know, he was saying that he is responsible, he'll take care of it, and then he listed some areas of responsibility that he's already been responsible for things. And then that was one night. So on one night he put that on our pillow, and we saw it when we went to bed. Well, the next day, my wife and I were out running errands, and we came back home, and he had put on our garage door, you know, take your shoes off, come downstairs for this presentation or whatever it was. So I knew what was happening. Well, he had his iPad out, and he started out the presentation by saying that, I just wanted you to know, or thank you for, listening to my presentation. I just want you to know that there's a piece of paper in front of you if you would like to take notes, and or if you have any questions for later. And then he went into his presentation, and boom, he started right out with the type of dog that he wanted right on the iPad. And he said, I want to introduce you to, and I've heard it's a Yorkie pom-pom dog, and he called it a certain name, and he said, I found it on this website, yada. I mean, he went through the whole thing, and this is the part that cracked me up. He goes, and I even have testimonials from the website about this place that you can order the dog from, and he read some of the testimonials. So, like, he was answering all the questions, all the objections before you get them, which was great marketing, great copywriting. I mean, it was really neat. So, and then at the end, you know, when he was finished, he put the picture back up of the dog, and, you know, it had something like, you know, how can you refuse something that looks like that or something like that. It was just really neat. Well, he was trying to get us emotionally attached. He even went as far as to, he got on my wife's phone and my phone and changed our screens with that dog on it so that we'd have to see it. So, well, I say all that. Oh, go ahead.
Let me ask you why you don't have this kid working for you right now.
Exactly. He's too busy. Anyways, he did all this, and my wife and I were like torn. I mean, we really do not want a dog. And we're not going to get it. But it was so persuasive. He got us so emotionally involved. Like, when we told him, he was crying. I mean, for probably, you know, 15 minutes to 20 minutes, he was bawling, as if we had already taken the dog away. Like, he already had it for 3 years. Well, I say all this because that's how we get when you know, someone presents an idea to us and we're an opportunistic thinker. When we run our business in an opportunistic way, we see all of these opportunities and we think, okay, this person got X number of leads or signed up this many students from them, so it must work and it will work for me. But the problem with that is, and it's not to say that that person lied, that they, you know, didn't get the 100 enrollments. That's not the case. And what I want to warn everybody is, it's great that you get excited. You know, you go to any event, whether it's Maya's or any event, it's great that you get excited, and you should. But if I could, you know, really say, and this is just coming from experience, because I've bought many a product that I never even opened up the box. Two, that, you know, after I bought it and tried it, it didn't work. So when you go to these events, it's important for you to have, you know, a few goals in mind, things that you are looking to improve in your school. So I call them broken windows. And so when you have these broken windows, it's kind of like a town that, you know, starts to get beat up and they don't fix the window. And then, of course, one window's broken, and then, you know, other people see that window's broken. So they, you know, do graffiti on the wall, and it downgrades from there. So you have to fix the windows when they're broken. So when you go to these events, you have to know what's broken in your business and then look for those things that are going to fix that brokenness in your business. And often, and we say this all the time, the problem is sometimes we don't know what we should know. We don't know what we should be looking for, and that's where the right coach can do that. You know, I always say that it's hard to read the prescription on a medicine bottle from the inside. And that's how we are as school owners until we finally know what we're supposed to know. We can't see what the prescription is, and that's where having a good coach does that for you. And I'm not trying to push, you know, us as your coach. I'm just saying that it's important to do that. And back to your statement with regards to, you know, different coaches. I've had different coaches. I mean, I have had coaches from the martial arts industry. I have went outside of the martial arts industry and had a few coaches outside of the martial arts industry as well, you know, and if I want to learn a specific thing, then I'm going to go and I'm going to find the person that I want to follow with that and have them teach me about that specific thing to better my business.
The one thing too, though, that I want to point out is, well, first off, my staff hated when I would go to the conventions. They knew that I was coming back with that next big, bright, shiny object because I was that guy. However, I was a very successful school owner, but I always saw opportunity in everything. So I would say, hey, if I added on this software, and I did that for like 6 years in a row, I changed and updated my software, where my staff, upon my return, would have to re-enter and transfer to a whole new software company. One program manager, Maria, who I loved, she doesn't work for me anymore. She's managing actually the school system in my area. But she used to say to me, you know, she was the only one, she was one of my black belts who could tell me like it was, and she'd go, I hate it when you go, and if you do it again, I'm quitting, or I'm not going to put this in. But every year I'd come back and I'd sweet talk her and say, this is your job, fix it, put it in, yada, yada, yada. And so I'd come back all fired up and motivated, which that's what's great about these type of events. You get to see like-minded people. You get to see the opportunity that actually exists, because from being in your own four walls in your own little small town, you start to believe your own limitations. So that's what I love about these conventions. They show you that there is a guy out there making $150,000, $200,000 a month, and this guy's got 12 schools, and this guy is successful, and he runs a traditional school, or this guy is selling kickboxing franchises, or blah, blah, blah. That's all amazing. However, the one thing that I fear a lot of times is that people think just because they bought, and you said this before, bought that box, sometimes they say, I forget what Tony Robbins says in one of his talks, like 80% of the people, and I've been fell prey to this, where I didn't even open up a box. I bought a 28 set or 30 cassette tapes, if anyone remembers what those are, 30 cassette tapes from Bob Alexander. Amazing speaker, great guy, great salesperson. It's still sitting in my closet. Now, I'm saying to myself, maybe I'll get a transfer from cassette to DVD. I'm about ready to just toss it. It's been doing nothing but taking up space for the last 15 years. So that happens a lot, and I really think that opportunistic people who think with opportunity in mind, end up failing because they're really never thinking in strategy. So just imagine going into war and saying, I think we can do pretty well, and then just flying over there and doing it rather than thinking about the strategy that it's going to take and building a battle plan with seamless steps of operation of what could go wrong, and then thinking of all the scenarios of what if they, you know, what if it hits the fan, what are we going to do, and what if we do get resistance on this front, and what if, you know, blah, 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 blah. So that's a strategic thinker. Too many people that you and I coach run their businesses on a hope and a prayer.
And you know what? It's not their fault. And here's what I mean. It's not their fault because I would venture to say every single one of us started our martial arts school because we saw an opportunity to make money at what we like to do. And there was no strategy behind it except for the fact that we knew we could make some money and that some other people were actually making money out there. Other than that, it was an opportunity. And by the way, we're not saying that there's anything wrong with opportunities, but the opportunities have to fit into your main goal, your core value for your school. And that's the only way that they're going to survive anyways. So, I just wanted to say that because I think all of us, at least probably 98% of people, maybe 97% of people that opened up a martial arts school, they saw the opportunity. and knew that they could do it. But, you know, the majority of us didn't have any business background, didn't understand any of that. I mean, heck, you had some business background because of some of the businesses you had started prior to, and you even fell prey to opportunistic thinking.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, it was funny, not to interrupt. I did. I ran a very successful million-dollar landscape construction company, and I didn't take any of my principles and practices from that business. In fact, I actually thought in my head that I couldn't. So I stayed as far away from those business practices and ran my martial art business totally different, because I was raised to think that business and martial arts don't go hand in hand. If I'm going to market, I have to be subtle. When in landscaping, I was in their face. I would upgrade. I would upsell. I would maintain. I'd sign contracts. Then my karate school, my martial arts school, ninjutsu school, I stayed as far from that as I possibly could, because at first I didn't want to sell out, you know, sell myself short. All these misconceptions about how I should run a business. And I'll give you an example. I built a website for a client. He's got like 55 leads in the last 2 months. Now, these are not leads. They're people who are actually leaving their name and phone number, email address, and saying, I have a six-year-old, give me a call. Not like, here's an email address, and then you chase after them with viral emails and all this other crap. This is someone saying, I want your service. And he isn't following up, in my opinion, as quickly as he should be. Sometimes it takes him a week. Sometimes it takes him longer to get back to people. I mean, if that were me and I had a lead, I call them immediately. In fact, the minute I get that lead, I immediately have an autoresponder, and then it gets kicked off to my program manager, and then I follow up with the program manager to make sure that person was scheduled. So it really all depends on your business training, and that's what you're talking about how you actually handle things, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, a lot of us started out that way where we didn't have any of the business, and you did, and you still didn't use it. So
exactly.
It's not our, you know, I'd like, it's not our fault. Now once we know, it's our fault.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now that we know what we know versus we don't know what we don't know, and that's what you and I do really well, is we kind of put a lot of stuff on the table for people to hear, and we want them to have these aha moments. We want them to go, that really makes sense. What Dwayne and Allie are saying opens my eyes to a whole vast majority of stuff. And by the way you and I speak, we basically lay out the pillars for people. We're telling them that this, you know, the foundation has to be built, and these are the different pillars that have to go up, that support the roof, that the structure that's going to make you a lot of money. I have a client, he's from Chicago, great guy, and he's not moving nearly as quickly as I would like, but he's moving at his own pace, and over the last year and a half, we've doubled his income. We haven't doubled his student base. We've only probably added on 10, maybe 15% more students. However, the beauty of it all is that we are growing slowly and putting in foundational systems that he's using on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and they're becoming part of what I call the DNA, the daily necessary activities, but the DNA like a body's DNA, and it becomes part of who they are. So in other words, they're building habits. It's becoming habitual for them to act and live a certain way, to think a certain way, similar to what Donald Trump does in business, where when he puts up a skyrise, he doesn't have to go and research how to do it. They know how to do it. He pulls in the right crews and they put in the foundation. He goes to the town board or the city. All of that stuff is just a system now, right? I'm sure in his first building there was a lot of what ifs, or the first deal, but now it becomes his muscle memory.
Yeah, and that's why he's successful, because he's able to, you know, replicate that. You had, and I had something, and it just left me. Can you recap what you just said, because I want it to come back?
Yeah, I don't even know what I just said totally, but I was talking mainly about how, you know, the way we coach is we're trying to build people.
Yes, here we go. Okay, yeah, I'm going to interrupt. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
We can get you the 100 leads. We can get you, and here's the thing. We can get you the 100 leads that they give you all the information. So, meaning that they give you their name, address, telephone number, you know, even they paid the $19.95 for the 2-week special and the free uniform or whatever. But if you do not have these strategic pillars in your business, you're going to be worse off in the end than you were in the beginning. And what I mean by that is you have 100 new people that you've just signed up that are doing your trial, and they see how disorganized your facility is. You know, they see that there's no structure, they're not welcomed correctly, they don't feel a part. There's just so many variables that aren't put in there correctly. And so if you go into a poor restaurant, you know, you got the coupon and, you know, the restaurant has been established, or even if it's brand new, whatever it is, you go in there and you see that the blinds have not been dusted for 3 years or 2 months, or, I mean, you go to use the bathroom and it's just horrific. You're not coming back. And it's not enough just to have the right marketing, although that is a pillar that we cover. But in our, and you know, chime in, Allie, if you want, but, you know, our main goal when we coach is to make sure that each pillar is solid and that we build each pillar up gradually together so that you can have a business that is functional for you, and also you don't lose people. You don't turn people off. It's kind of like when, remember, we did a call last year in December, or maybe it was January, where I was talking about I had a high-class problem. I think that was the title of it. And my problem was I signed up, I don't even remember, 66 people for our Karate for Christmas.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I going to do with all these people? Like, how am I going to bring them in? How am I going to service them? Because the thing that was worrisome for me was I did not want to bring all these people and they have such a crappy experience that they go out and they say, you know, yeah, we did the trial and it sucked. Place is, you know, I just didn't want any of that. So I had to come up with a way that I was going to make sure that they were serviced correctly. And it's not that we don't already have that in place, but I didn't have that system in place with regards to, you know, 66 people. I didn't have it. So I had to create it. And so we've got to be careful that there are opportunities that are out there, but we can flood our school. And I'm sure I'm right there with you guys that you're shaking your head at me. Well, yeah, of course I want to flood my school. You got to be careful, because if everything is not built up at the same time correctly or close to the same time, you're going to have other problems. You're going to have other broken windows that you're not even going to see that they're broken, and then other things will get broken too.
Yeah, and I need to do interject on a few things. Number one is, yeah, it's great to get leads, and that's why all these fantastic marketing, and in the UK they call it schemes, which I kind of get nervous when they use that word. They're like, Allie, what kind of scheme are you going to teach us today? And I'm like, whoa, I don't do anything dishonest. They're like, what are you talking about? It's just your marketing scheme. I'm like, no, for us in the U.S., when you're scheming, you're cheating and lying and stealing. In the U.K., scheming is getting someone interested or selling or marketing. But anyway, so you can have the greatest marketing campaign in the universe and bring in tons of leads, and if you don't have a quality sales team, it's a waste. So I'd rather see you bring in 1, 2, maybe 3 versus 50, 60, because you're not capable of signing them up, and what you're probably going to do is turn more people away than you're going to turn people on, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to share one secret with you, and I think people have to understand this, and I really want them to really think about this, and this is important. Number one is that your presentation doesn't just start with your website or your advertising or your when people, you know, when you call them. It's what we call, Dwayne, you and I, touch points, where every single touch point starts way back when how they found you on the internet, what your website looked like, and it has to be congruent. So in other words, your website looks beautiful, but your school looks like crap, or your website is terrible, but your school is gorgeous. They're never going to get a chance to experience your gorgeous school because they don't think it is, because your website is terrible. And that's the problem with these template-based websites that are just the same old for every single school. We want to find out what your individualism is, why you look and feel, and what you're all about, who you are. And one secret I'll share with everybody is I just dropped about $13,000 into renovating my lobby in my second location. That school is the sister school. It's a full-time facility. It's been around for 18 years. It's a beautiful school, 5,100 square foot, multiple rooms, blah, blah, blah. But the lobby and everything hadn't been updated in 15 years. So, you know, the parents would come to my West Islip school, which you've been to, stellar brick, faux brick walls and monitors everywhere and hardwood floors and cafe tables and lobby sitting area, retail store. And then they go to my East Islip school and go, well, why are we second? Why do we get treated badly? And I used to get mad at them because it wasn't terrible, but I then renovated the school, and it's gorgeous. And people who come in there are immediately sold. I used to have to – my staff used to have to work so much harder. Like, for example, my summer camp's going on there right now, and we meet everyone at that facility. We used to try to almost not meet with the parents there so they wouldn't sit in the lobby. But now we bring them there proudly, and they sit down and like, oh, my God, this place is gorgeous. So I'm literally selling people just in the sitting area. And most school owners forget that that professional look, the clean environment, the, you know, the logos. And you recently renovated your retail area, which looks gorgeous as well. And we chatted about that. People really, they don't say anything, but they see it. They can feel it. You know, they know. So it's something that people, that's one secret, is to be congruent with your look and feel and make sure that everyone understands who and what you are, your brand.
Well, and,
what your brand.
Yeah, and I was going to say, any good marketer is going to tell you that you need to be an individual, and your individuality needs to stand out. You know, that's why why are you different? Why are you different than any other martial arts school in your area? But if you have a templated website, you know, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, you know, you don't stand out. And it's not to say that, you know, the three schools or the 10 schools in your area all have the same website. It's right back to what Ali said is, you know, they go to that website and then the look and the feel is not the same thing as when they walk into your establishment. And there's a big disconnect that happens even subconsciously. It doesn't always have to be conscious. Consciously, but even subconsciously, it's there. So you have to make sure that you have that. And how do you do that? You do that by being a strategic school owner, not an opportunistic school owner. Yes, maybe the new, you know, XYZ website company or the old one or whatever, has a lot of people on it. And kudos to them because this is America and they should have as many as they can get on there.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're uninformed. We don't know. And then, yeah, something's better than nothing. I would agree that, you know, at least having a templated website is better than nothing in the beginning. But once you start to understand your marketing, you understand your individuality and who you are in your community, you can't have that templated website because you have to make sure that your own story stands out on why people should, you know,
you. You know, I have to defend, and I don't want to because they're my competitors, but I have to defend the people who have the, you know, the templated companies because they've made beautiful templates that actually work. So for the average eye to see, the majority of people have maybe looked at one site and they fall in love with the site and then they call you and blah, blah, blah. However, I think that I think the people in the martial art industry are missing their brand. Like, for example, you know, I've spoken about this. I once, Chris Angel's family, the magician and illusionist, used to train with me, the whole entire family. And Chris had come to my school many times and sat in the lobby, just an amazing experience. And, you know, he even did a class with us once. And his brother, JD, was a student of mine for many years, and his wife and his daughter. But one day he took me, he'd always say to me, and I have to tell you, honestly, I was a little annoyed whenever he'd say it, but he did it genuinely. And if he hears this, he'll understand how I truly feel. He'd say to me, Shion, you know, all the stuff you do in there, and he'd point to my training room, he'd go, it's just amazing. It's like top-notch, 100%. He said, but this sitting area right here is maybe like 20%. And he'd go, your lobby, your branding, they don't connect. And I go, what do you mean? He says, well, you're going to be in Vegas. And I was at the Super Show, and he got me on Chris's show and all this other stuff when I was there. He took me on a tour of the five different retail shops that Chris had. And literally, and I probably spoke about this, so I don't want to do too much of it, but literally when he'd go, you ready? And we'd take the first step into the store. And he'd say, stop. And I'd stop. And he'd say, look around. Tell me what you see. And I'd go, Chris Angel. And he's going, exactly. And I go, Yeah, it was Chris Angel. You literally stepped from the Luxor lobby, boom, right into the store, and there was an entire new world that you've just entered in. The music from his soundtracks and the picture boxes with his stunts that he did and his shirts and the cups and the card tricks, and it was the world of Chris Angel, and that's what branding is. The ceiling had his logo and the colors of his, you know, it was just that. So I took that and I rebuilt my lobby, and you've been there. You could say whether it's a nice lobby or not, right? You've been to my West Islip school.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
you walk in when, and I have parents that go to a school down the road from me, and then they come to me and they say, oh my God, it's like night and day. That place smelled. It was dusty. My eyes felt like there was stuff in them. The instructor yelled at me and told me to bow, and I don't even know him. And, you know, and then they come to me and they go, oh my God, this place is simply gorgeous. Sign me up. Like, there's no resistance to the sale at that point because they've already experienced low quality. Now they've experienced high quality, just like you spoke about that restaurant. You know, when you go to a restaurant, it's and the food is amazing and the service is amazing. In fact, I went to a vegan restaurant not too long ago. I was so excited. I've been wanting to go to this place for a year. When I went, it's called, well, I won't say what it's called. It's I don't want it to be negative. But anyway, the name is not congruent with what the feel of the restaurant. So you walk in, it has this very Asian-ish Buddhist kind of, you know, retro name, and then you walk in, and it's very much like a beach restaurant in Costa Rica, surfboards and videos of surfers, and it's not at all congruent. And the food was good, but it wasn't amazing. The service was good, but, you know, everything else kind of wore. So I would give it like a 3 star out of 6. And again, I don't know, will I go back? Probably to give them another shot, yes, but I'm not really that enthusiastic. And then the other day I went to a restaurant in Manhattan, Candle 79. I give that place a 6 star review out of 4. They're amazing. Everything from the ambiance to the food to the service to the feel, it was just – I sometimes want to just go to Manhattan, which is an hour and a half ride, just to eat at that restaurant.
Mm.
Why are we not doing that in schools?
Yeah, well, here's the deal. This past weekend, my son plays beach volleyball, and we were at a beach volleyball tournament in Indiana. And on our way home, we were hungry, obviously, because it was all day, and we'd already eaten all the food we'd already brought. It's dinner time. And I'm looking up on Yelp trying to find a place to eat, and I found this place called Octave Grill. And I'm like, Octave Grill, I don't get it. And so then we went there, and, of course, it's a little, like, we drove right by in this little quaint, old little quaint town, it looked like a little hole in the wall from the outside, except, I mean, their marketing was beautiful. Everything was bright and shiny and it, like, very, very good coloring. The colors were very good. And so we parked and we walked in, and it had a farm-to-table feel. The look was kind of like that. And there was only 23 seats in there. That's it. And we sit down at the table, my wife and son, and it's a burger joint, but it's an upscale, and then I got it, Octave, another Octave. So it's a higher grill place, right? It's another Octave. So we're talking about branding, you know, and how it's congruent. Well, they have burgers, but their burgers are, I mean, they're grass-fed burgers. Their burgers are different too, because they have a burger of the week, but then they have these different ones. Like, we had the Figgy Piggy, where it was this fig jam and this bacon on there with some greens and goat cheese, and it was amazing. And it wasn't like a big burger. It was a nice size, but it wasn't oversized. But they had different ones, like a Denver one, which had, you know, different toppings on it and stuff. But it was just really, really quaint and neat and clean and nice and congruent. Everything was congruent. And I got it. Like, okay, this is an Octave. This is another – this is higher than a grill, you know, like the step above your regular grill place. And we ended up spending – the three of us together, we spent $50 with the tip and everything, you know, more like 60 for each, all of us to have hamburgers. Oh, right, tater tots. I had not your regular tater tots. It's, oh gosh, I can't think of it. Sweet potatoes. It was sweet potato tater tots in this grainy mustard dip. And it was amazing. Like, I never thought of taking those two and putting those together.
Yeah, you're making me hungry now. However, all the hamburgers ruined all that.
I know, but I just
Being a
I wanted
vegan.
to come along. I know, come
But
alongside
you
you
know
though.
what?
It's congruent. There, I'm going to go back there because we have, I think, three more tournaments on that same beach. I'm going to try different burgers, you know.
Right, you know what's interesting though? I want the listeners to hear the passion in which you talked about the food and hear what you were saying about it and the little nuances that you spoke about. Not only are you an eloquent speaker and you can tell a really good story because good martial artists are good storytellers, especially instructors that are really good. However, you made me even want to go there with you next time. I'll order a veggie burger or something like that, you know, but that's my point is that people need to now let's spin that whole entire thing and let's talk about the typical lobby, typical martial arts school smell, the typical look. I always say to school owners, if you have a storefront, when the door is closed, go up to your building and put your eyes, your hands around your eyes if you were like, you know, looking at the building, you know, in a new school owner view, a new person view, and look at your building and look into it and say, what does that school tell you by looking at it? This is a really good trick and a really good business drill exercise to do. Look in your own school and say, what is the message that I'm getting? So in other words, what kind of business is that? People would say a karate school. You know why? Because there are pads thrown about. There's probably a sign on the wall that says, we build black belts, which is total crap because half the schools don't have any black belts. You know, with you know, a Bob guy in the corner, some weapons hanging on the wall, looks like Sanford and Son, if I'm dating myself, but a garage sale. You know, and then what is it? What type? Okay, it's a karate school. Okay, well, what kind of karate school? You know, is it a school that is a higher level, the Ivy League, like my school, or is it? And unfortunately, I don't have storefronts that people could peer into. So the
Yeah,
outside
neither
of
do
my,
I.
yeah, my outside of my building, you know, is not all that of impressive. It's very industrial looking, and I try to keep it looking nice and clean. But it's a square block, really. So I mean, I could do much more with that. Anyway, the interior, when you look through, what is it? You know, what's the messaging on the wall? Does it give them a feeling? Does the website carry through? Are you using the same logo, same pictures, same colors on your website as you are in your school? Are the messages the same? Because if a parent goes to a website and falls in love with you and then comes to your school and one feel is traditional and you know, classical, and then you come to the school and it's red, white, and blue flags and, you know, sparring and tournaments and trophies all over. You know what I mean? So we have to really we have to look into our window and go, who do we want to be? What do we want our clientele to see? And what do we want our students to experience? That's a whole entire thing. Anyway, we kind
Well,
of veered into a whole nother area. And this is a really great call, a long call that we've done. But, you know, we talked about the event, the super show, not being an opportunistic thinker. Being more strategic, you know, thinking about the pillars that we teach in our next level program that we do, a whole bunch of different cool and amazing things. And now we're talking about branding and congruency between brand and where the rubber meets the road.
and I think that does hit the whole idea of being either strategic or opportunistic, because the foundation that your pillars are laid on, there's certain questions that you, if you really want to be a serious player in the martial arts industry in your town and make a good living at it, then you need to build that foundation correctly before you set the pillars on. Now, most of us, we haven't done that. So we have to go back and ask ourselves the important questions. You know, one is, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be in my community? You know, but then also another question, and there's multiple questions that we ask our clients. And another one, though, is that you need to ask yourself the question is, what is my ideal clientele? Like, who is it that I really want to be teaching? Because it's unrealistic to think that you're going to teach everybody and make a good living at it or even be effective with it, because there's certain clientele that you want to teach. I mean, I know one of our friends. You know, he mainly teaches probably 90% adults and 10% kids. And
Right.
so the perspective that he has with his school, you know, his foundation is different than mine. It's the
Right.
same with regards to the same questions being asked and answered, but the answers are different. They're not wrong, they're just different. And then you build upon with the pillars from there. But you're right. I mean, we've gone for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you and I are definitely not shy. We could talk forever. If you gave us 4 hours, you know, if someone said, hey, Dwayne and Allie, could you fill a 4-hour segment? We'd say, well, why don't we do it for six? You know, that we could just keep on going, other than I'll take a break for the bathroom while you're talking and back and forth. But other than that, we have so much material, so much life experience that we want to share. And, you know, I want to reiterate my passion, and I know that you agree with me on this, Dwayne, is my passion is to help people, martial arts school owners, experience the life that, you know, you and I do, where we could do what we want when we want, and we run very lucrative, successful schools. And I also want to share with the world the benefits of the martial arts, irrelevant of style, philosophy, color, creed, you know, all that stuff. I want to help the world, because I believe even the worst martial art, I don't mean style, I mean the worst school, could still change people's lives if they have the right intention. And I think that, yeah, you know, we believe in spreading the word of business so that people could plug it into their school and share their style with the world and then enhance the world at large. That's, I think, our mission statement, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, when you say the worst school, you mean poorly ran. You don't mean, you know, the rapist instructor. I mean, I knew what you meant by that, but I want to clarify that.
Exactly. I mean, when I say the worst school, I mean a school that's failing and you know, not doing well business-wise or hardly able to keep open the doors. But, yeah, thanks for clarifying. I mean, I'm not a prejudice in any way to any specific style, because I personally know that every style has a value. I fight it on the internet all day long, where people post, look at this guy doing this stupid thing, and I always get on people going, that's a snippet of one little thing that he's saying. Yeah, everyone picks apart my stuff too. I posted a gun technique the other day, and I had some of my Krav Maga guys going, you shouldn't strip it that way or do it that way. And I'm like, damn, man, it's like everyone's got something to say about everything. So anyway, long story short, our goal, our mission statement is to help those run their business so that they can be successful and successfully teach their art to the world, thus changing the world at large, right? Pretty cool mission for you and I.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I thank you for your time this morning, Allie. I always love getting up in the morning and speaking and with you and sharing the, you know, different topics with other school owners. So, hey, I want to everybody share this topic about being either a strategic or an opportunistic school owner with your other friends, because it's important for them to understand that it's okay to get excited about opportunities, but those opportunities have to make sure that they fit into the foundation that you've laid for your school. And if you have not laid the foundation, get with us. There's some questions you need to answer in order to figure out what your foundation really needs to be. Allie, last words?
No, that's it, man. You said it all. We've said it all. Guys, just everyone out there, take what we have, little bits of information. If you want more detail, just email us or get involved in some way. However, take what we give you and use it. Even if it's one little snippet and change what you do, that's why we do what we do. And please, please, please share this on your page with your martial art friends, not your students, of course, but your friends in the martial art business, and say, hey, check it out, because I think it could help them also and help us with our mission by spreading the word. And that's about it. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm appreciative of you, and have an amazing day. Thank you.